The book of Mark, chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 33. We're in our series, Seeing Jesus. So we're looking at Jesus Christ through the books of the Bible, one message from each book. Finding Jesus Christ, because we believe that when we see Jesus, he can change us. And tonight we're going to be looking at a phrase in reference to Jesus Christ that's used throughout this book, but more than just the specific phrase that we read in this book, we find this idea all throughout Scripture in regard to Jesus Christ, and we can see it really everywhere. But Mark chapter 6 and verse 33 says, "And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people," and here's the phrase, "and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go out into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat." Let's begin with a word of prayer tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We're thankful tonight for the privilege that we have of holding in our hands the Word of God and being able to open it and to read it, to study it, to learn from it. And so we ask that you would help us this evening to see exactly what you want us to see. Help us to see Jesus Christ tonight. And Lord, may we learn exactly what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. And so tonight I want to see Jesus the compassionate. Jesus the compassionate. The word compassion, our English word compassion, comes from the Latin and it means to suffer with. To suffer with. The Greek word here that's translated compassion or moved with compassion is literally their word for bowels or intestines. And then they would use it figuratively for the emotions that they consider to come from their bowels or their stomach in that place. And that was the tender emotions, not the aggressive ones, not the angry ones, but the ones like kindness and love and affection and mercy and those sort of emotions. They considered those to come from the bowels. And so they would use this word in reference to that. A good definition for compassion is sensitivity and sympathy that moves one to address the sufferings of others. Sensitivity and sympathy that moves one to address the sufferings of others. And we find that with Jesus Christ. He was moved with compassion. And again, that phrase is specifically used several times in this book. But everywhere, every time we see Jesus Christ, we see someone that was moved with compassion. We see his sensitivity. We see his sympathy to the needs of others. But more than just a recognition of those needs, we see that he moves to address those. He moves to help with those needs. And everybody has times when they need compassion. I remember I was in college, and for several years in college, I had a car that just was, it was a real beater of a car, if you remember it. I remember it. And there was one Sunday morning, I was driving home from church. And I was driving through the town on our way back to the college. And as I was driving on one of those sort of back roads, all of a sudden I heard a real scraping sound coming from underneath the car. And I knew what it was because this has happened before. And it was that my muffler had fallen down again. The issue was it was raining that day. And it wasn't, I don't want to like over dramatize this. It wasn't pouring rain, but it was raining. And the ground was wet, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and I'm in my church clothes, I'm wearing a suit, I've got my shirt and tie on, and all of that. And I was kind of annoyed, because here I now had to get out of my car in the rain, took my jacket off, and I was like, well, here goes this dress shirt, right? I'm just going to chalk this one up as a loss. Had to lay down on my back, get under the car, and try and wire up my muffler again so I could make it back to the college. And you know, in that moment, I could have used a little compassion. You know, maybe just someone to come along with. I didn't want somebody to do it for me. I didn't want someone else to have to do that. But maybe just someone to hold an umbrella. You know, someone who had a big umbrella or a tow truck. I would have taken a tow truck. Something like that. We've all had these times in our life where we look at our situation and go, it'd be nice to have some compassion. And we've all also had times when we needed that compassion, and not just for, where it's not just that we needed someone to like have sympathy on us or look at us and go, oh, I feel bad for them or I feel bad for what they're going through, but someone who would be moved with compassion, where they would take steps to help us in our time of need. And all of us have had times like that in our life. We've also had times in our life when we've been moved with compassion, where we've gone out and helped someone in their time of need, when we've had compassion toward them and then taken steps to help them in their time of need. But tonight, many people in this world can be moved with compassion toward physical suffering, right? We can look out and see so many stories of people who have gone out of their way to help someone else, unsaved people, people who don't know the Lord. They can be moved with compassion toward physical suffering, but there's a difference between the world and the believer, because the Christian can actually be moved to help someone with their spiritual suffering. Not that we can alleviate that, but we can point them to someone who can. And we have that privilege and that responsibility as Christians to be moved with compassion, not just toward their physical suffering, but also toward their spiritual sufferings. And we are able to do that. And our compassion comes from having a compassionate Savior. Our compassion comes because we know someone who is compassionate toward us in our need. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 tells us, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We know someone we can go to who can help in time of need, who can help with physical needs and can help with spiritual needs. We know someone as believers, someone that has compassion and someone that can help. We have a compassionate Savior who can work in us and then work through us as we go and we see needs in this world. But tonight I want to see the compassion of Jesus Christ, because we need to be encouraged by Him. We need to be encouraged by the compassion that we see in Christ, but also then we need to be challenged by Him and being moved with compassion. And so tonight I want to see Jesus Christ, the compassionate. And we see His compassion in two ways in our passage. In verse 34, we see His compassion toward their spiritual condition. His compassion toward their spiritual condition. So in verse 34, after these people, they've followed Him, right? As he's moved around, they've followed Him, and now they've gone before Him and came together unto Him. So then in verse 34, "And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and He began to teach them many things." His compassion toward their spiritual condition. Jesus is so good at seeing people's needs. And boy, don't we see this in the Gospels as you read through them. Over and over, you see Jesus Christ seeing a need that someone has that many times has just been overlooked by the majority of people. Or in the case of some of the lower class people, that they heard it and they just ignore it. And they would just go on by. But Jesus Christ was so good at seeing needs. And tonight, I understand that I've got to be better at that. I've got to be more like Christ in being able to see the needs that people have. And it's amazing to me. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, Jesus said in regard to prayer, He said, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." He sees all our needs. And tonight, He knows all the needs that you have. The ones that maybe you've kept hidden from everybody else, He knows. And He sees those needs. And He is moved with compassion toward those needs in your life. But Jesus Christ sees these people, and He's moved with compassion toward their spiritual condition, and He describes it this way. Here's what He sees. He saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. Sheep not having a shepherd. They didn't have anyone to guide them, anyone to lead them. And we understand, we read Psalm 23, and we know all about what a shepherd is able to do for a sheep. Right, He leads them to green pastures and beside still waters. And as they walk through those valleys of the shadow of death, He's right there with them. There's His rod and His staff, and He comforts them. And we read Psalm 23, and we understand exactly what God as a shepherd is able to do for his sheep. We read in John 10 as Jesus Christ gives his life for the sheep, and we understand sheep need a shepherd. And we can't get beyond that point. Even in our Christian lives, we cannot get beyond the fact that as sheep, we need a shepherd. Jesus Christ saw this multitude, and he says they're wandering about, and they're like sheep that have no shepherd, no one who is guiding them and giving them that spiritual direction that they needed. Now, that's not to say that they didn't have some who wanted to lead them or wanted to be their shepherd. And Jesus Christ describes these leaders in two different places that I want to read. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. He says of the Pharisees, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. That's how he described them, blind leaders of the blind. That's what they were doing. Another description in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He tells them, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And he says, you have people that are trying to lead you. He looked out and saw them, and he knew that there were people that were trying to lead them, but yet were not the shepherd for the sheep. He talks about people that were blind leaders of the blind, or the idea that they were well-meaning, but wrong. And when the blind leads the blind, he says they both end up in the ditch, where it's not where they're supposed to be. And today we have many blind leaders of the blind in this world. People who set themselves up as spiritual leaders and attempt to lead sheep, and attempt to lead people spiritually, but they have no idea what they're doing. And maybe they're of the best intentions, yet they are sincerely wrong in what they're trying to teach and how they're trying to lead people. And it's as if they're sheep without a shepherd. And then there's others that would be described as wolves in sheep clothing who know what they're doing is wrong. They're knowingly harmful, but they just don't care. And they're in it for themselves. They're in it for what they can take from the sheep and take from those that are trying to follow them. And we have all these different types of leaders, but yet without Christ, they're just as sheep not having a shepherd. And so Jesus Christ looked out and he was moved with compassion on them. And you know, generally we look at this story as we come down through verse 36 and 37 and the verses after that. And we see it as this story about feeding their bodies and taking care of their hunger. But first, it's a story about their spiritual hunger that Jesus Christ is going to take care of. That he's going to feed their spirits and feed their souls first. And they were hungry for peace with God. They were hungry for righteousness. They were hungry for a relationship with God. They were hungry for all of those things. And maybe they didn't really understand everything that they wanted. But they knew that there was something missing. That's why they're out there following Jesus. That's why they're going after this man, because he speaks with authority. And he talks about things that they know that they are hungering for. They may not know all that they want, but they know that Jesus Christ has it. And they knew exactly where to find it in Jesus Christ. So he's moved with compassion as he sees these people. They're a sheep not having a shepherd. And so we come to the end of verse 34, and it says, he began to teach them many things. So now he begins, moved with compassion, he begins to meet their spiritual needs. And it says he taught them many things. He became their shepherd. Now here in Mark, it just says he taught them many things. In Luke chapter 9, verse 11, it gets a little more specific, and it says that he spake unto them of the kingdom of God, which really is, it's kind of a general term for all of Christ's teaching in reference to God the Father and God the Father's authority and what God desired of his people and how God wanted them to live and how God was ruling and all of that. But he was teaching them the word of God. He was teaching them the truth. And that's what was going to meet their needs. And we look at our lives and today in our walk with the Lord, and we understand that it's the word of God that's going to meet our spiritual needs. It's not going to come from the teachers of this world with their philosophies and their easy sayings and all of that and all the articles that they can write. We understand that if our spiritual needs are going to be met, it's going to come from God and the Spirit of God through the Word of God. That's what's been given to us to meet our spiritual needs. And every spiritual need that we have, if we just get back to the Word of God, we're going to find it. We're going to find the comfort that we need. We're going to find the reassurance that we need for our life. We're going to find the challenge that we need to keep going. We're going to find our motivation. We're going to find our purpose. All the things that we need, we're going to find in the Word of God. And tonight, I want you to understand that you have a compassionate Savior. And He understands the spiritual needs in your life, and He's moved with compassion toward those, to meet those needs, to take care of those. And so the question tonight is, what is it that you need? What are the spiritual needs in your life? And maybe it's been a hard week. It's been a different week for me. We had school shut down, and then we decided we're going to go, you know, online only this week. And it just kind of threw all the plans into disarray and all of that. And it was just a weird week. And I don't know, maybe your week's been like that. And you're just going through things. The Lord knows all about that. He knows the needs you have before you ask. And understand that He is then moved with compassion toward those needs. And He is moved to teach you what you need to learn through this. All the things that you don't understand and that He wants to show you, He's moved with compassion to reveal all that to you through His Word. And He's moved to give you exactly what you need if you'll just turn to Him, if you'll just go to your Savior. So we find His compassion first toward their spiritual condition. But we keep going in this passage, and starting in verse 35, we find that He was moved with compassion toward their physical condition. Toward their physical condition. So look in verse 35. Verse 35 says, "And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat." So compassion toward their physical condition. He looks out and He understands the hunger that they were going through, right? And maybe at this point, you know, it says the time is far past. Maybe it had even progressed to they were hangry, right? And you understand, like, if you get hungry enough, it's hard to concentrate. It's hard to just focus on all the things that are going on. You're wondering if anybody can hear that your stomach is growling. And you're thinking about how you can just keep it from growling loudly. And I know I've been there. And so Jesus Christ understands what's going on with these people. And He cares about this. It's not just about their spiritual condition. He also cares about their physical condition and their physical needs. And He cares tonight about your physical condition. He cares about your health. Now, His desire isn't that we would never have health problems, but understand that His concern for your health is that it would always help you spiritually, that your health would just help you in as you grow spiritually, right? That it wouldn't hinder your walk with the Lord. That's His desire. And we understand from Paul that sometimes what He does with our health is not always heal, it's give us the grace to endure. Because He understands that that is what we need to grow, to really grow spiritually, that we can grow the best if we continue to endure a physical problem, but yet find the grace that we need to go through it. Sometimes it's through healing, and He gives us modern medicine and doctors to help us with that. And sometimes God understands that the best thing for us is to be healed, because that will be what helps us walk with the Lord the best in our life. But sometimes the opposite is true, that He says the best for this person is for them to just learn to trust Me and endure by My grace. But God understands all about our physical condition, and the Lord wants to use that spiritually in our life. But what's interesting is that as this has brought to the disciples' attention and to the Lord's attention, and He understands that they're hungry, that it's a desert place, the time is far past, verse 36, the disciples have this solution. Their solution is, send them away, that they may go into the country round about and in the villages, buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. That's what the disciples come up with. And you know, it's a logical solution. you know, it makes sense. You send them away, they can go and get food. But it's one of those things where it's one of those ideas that sounds good at the beginning. And then you think about it some more and you go, no, that's not really a great idea. You know, it's like when the kids say, hey, let's go and eat at McDonald's. And you go, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And then you think about it some more and you go, nah. The more I think about it, the less I really like this idea. Now, I wasn't always that way. You know, as a kid, that idea was great anytime, all the time. But as an adult, you go, okay, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't have to cook or, you know, prepare anything, no dishes. But McDonald's isn't as cheap as it used to be, right? It's getting more and more expensive to eat at McDonald's, so it's not that great of a deal. Also, the food's not that good, you know, and you go, sounds great at the beginning. Then you think about it more and more and you go, nah, I don't want to go to McDonald's. You know, maybe if the kids had picked something else or asked for something else, maybe, but, you know, sounds good at the beginning. Then you think about it more and more and you go, that's actually not that great of an idea. Disciples, they say, hey, why don't we send them away? They can go into the villages or into the country and they can find food for themselves. We go, hey, that sounds like an okay idea. That makes sense. And then you think about it and you go, you know what? That's actually not going to do. That's not a good idea. Because to send them away from Jesus Christ really is never a good idea, right? It's never a good idea for someone to go, hey, why don't we send people away from Jesus Christ? And I think in doing that, that would have just recreated the spiritual condition. Jesus looked at them and said, they don't have someone that they can follow, someone that can be there to teach them about the truth and lead them as they should be led. And now the disciples were like, why don't we send them away from you? And that would have just left the people back where they had been without a leader, without someone to guide them, without a shepherd. And listen, be wary of any solution that sends you away from Jesus Christ. Any solution to any problem that's going to take you away from Jesus Christ. Because we know that's not coming from the Lord. That's not coming from the Holy Spirit. That's not coming from Jesus. It's coming from our flesh or it's coming from Satan. That's where those solutions come from. And so they have this idea, and it's not that good of an idea. So Jesus Christ comes up with a better solution, verse 37, as only Jesus Christ can do. As only the one who can do a miracle can do, he comes up with this solution. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And we know the story. We know it takes place. They find the boy with his lunch, and Jesus Christ does this miracle. And he takes this small lunch, and he multiplies it. And he's able to feed the multitude that's there. And Jesus Christ performs this miracle that is the solution that they need because it meets the need that they had physically for their hunger. It also keeps them near to Jesus Christ. And it made them see Jesus Christ as their solution for all of their problems. What the disciples were doing was sending them away to lean on their own self-sufficiency. And say, you know what, Jesus Christ is good for this, but you're on your own for this. You can meet your own needs in this area and in this regard. And sending them away would have really sent the wrong message. It would have sent the message, number one, that Jesus Christ was limited in how much he cared for them. That he cared to teach them, he cared to share his message with them. But then when it came to these other needs, he was like, you're on your own. Why don't you go take care of that? And it would have sent this message that Jesus Christ cared for some of their needs, but not other of their needs. Or he was willing to do what he could to meet these needs, but not for these other needs. It would have sent this message that Jesus Christ was limited and restricted in how much he really cared for these people. But also it would have sent the message that for some of these things, they were on their own. That they didn't need to go to Christ for those things. Which is in direct contrast to what Jesus Christ had told the disciples when he taught them how to pray. Because he prayed, you go to your Father and you say, give us this day our daily bread. It's not a message of self-sufficiency. It's not a prayer of self-sufficiency. It is a prayer of dependency for every single thing that you need. That's what Jesus Christ was saying when he said, I will give them to eat. In contrast to the disciples saying, why don't they just go their own way? Why don't they take care of it? Just send them away. And he was moved with compassion to keep them close to himself. So that he could meet every single one of their needs. And you know what's interesting is I believe that there were even as he gives them to eat, there were more spiritual needs that he was then continuing to meet, even as he met their physical needs. because they saw this amazing miracle performed by the Messiah, by Jesus Christ. And so he showed them his deity. He showed them his authority. He showed them his power. He showed them his relationship with the Father. He showed them so much spiritually as they saw him meet their physical needs through this miracle. And he showed them, more importantly, that he cared for them. He showed them his compassion by meeting their physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. And tonight he wants to show you his compassion. And he wants to show you that he is the solution for all that you need. And it's easy for us to look around and say, you know what, I'll depend on my self-sufficiency. I'll go here and I'll go there. I'll do this. I will do that. I will go to Christ for some things, but I will go other places for other needs. And Jesus Christ says, no, you trust in me. You depend upon me for every single need that you have. He wants us to see that he is moved with compassion for all the needs that are in our life. And so we see that he was moved with compassion for their physical and also for their spiritual needs. And there's a couple of things I want to take away from what we see in Jesus Christ. When we see his compassion, when we see that he's moved with compassion, there's a couple lessons we need to learn. And the first is this: we can rest in his compassion. We can rest in the fact that he is moved with compassion. There's a phrase that's used 5 times in the book of Psalms. And one of those times it's used is in Psalm 145 in verse 8, where it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy." Full of compassion. I'd mentioned that car I drove in college. I have another illustration from that. It was a car that, you know, it was always like one bump in the road away from breaking down. And it also, one of the other things about this car was that it really guzzled gas. And so there were times, mainly when I was driving down to college, you know, from here down to North Carolina, going all the way down, that I would worry about running out of gas, because I would be watching the gas tank and it's going down. And then I would see that needle, you know, get to a quarter of a tank, and I go quarter of a tank left. And I'd say, okay, it's time for me to start thinking about like stopping and getting gas somewhere. I don't know. It always seemed like it took a long time to get to, you know, that first quarter to three quarters of tank. And then, you know, after the halfway mark, it seemed to go really fast. And so I'd always get to that one quarter of a tank left going, I need to find somewhere to stop. And there were times, though, that you get places where there's not a lot of exits. So you got a lot of miles between the exits. And then those exits, they don't have those nice signs that say there's a gas station off this exit. So I would get to come up on an exit going, I don't know if there's a gas station. I'd like there to be a gas station, but I don't want to get off this exit, drive several miles only to find out that I don't have a gas station here, drive back to the highway, get back on, and then who knows how long till the next exit. So I've got all this going on, trying to worry about all this that I don't run out of gas on the highway. And it was always wonderful to find a gas station and to have a full tank, to get back on the highway going, tank's full, don't have to worry about this anymore, at least for a while, right? Having that full tank of gas meant I didn't have to worry about it. Understanding that Jesus Christ is full of compassion means you don't have to worry about it. It means that you can relax, simply resting in the fact that he is moved with compassion, full of compassion, moved with compassion toward every single need that's in your life. Needs you know about and needs you have not even asked the Father about yet. All of those needs. He is full of compassion and he's moved with compassion. I'm glad the phrase isn't that he's sitting with compassion. You know, that he's got it, but he's not really doing anything with it. You know, it's an emotion that he has. I really enjoy that phrase, moved with compassion. Because that means that there's action going on, that there's things taking place in regard to the needs that are in my life, because he's not sitting there with compassion. He is moved with compassion toward all the needs that are in my life. And whatever concerns you also concerns him. And it doesn't matter how inconsequential it might seem to you. And it doesn't matter who you've shared that with, or if you've kept that quiet and haven't told anyone about this. He knows, and he's concerned about it. He's moved with compassion for it. And so one takeaway is this. Don't just know that he's compassionate, rest in it. Relax and trust that he is moved with compassion toward your needs. But there's another takeaway, there's another lesson, and that is this. We need to be moved with compassion. As Christians, we also need to be moved with compassion. The Reader's Digest asked their readers to send in stories of different acts of kindness, or we could say ways people have been moved with compassion toward other people. And I found a couple that I like that I wanted to read tonight. The first is from a lady in Oklahoma, and she says, "When my friend and I were injured in a car accident, a family from out of state stopped to help. And seeing we were hurt, they drove us to the hospital and stayed there until we were released. They then took us home, got us food, and made sure that we were settled in. And amazingly, they interrupted their vacation to help us." See, that's a family that was moved with compassion. And I mean, it reminds you kind of the story of the Good Samaritan, right? And just people that were moved with compassion towards someone else's needs. One other story from a lady in Canada. She says, "I forgot about the rules for liquids and carry-on luggage. So when I hit security at the airport, I had to give up all my painting supplies. When I returned a week later, an attendant was at the baggage area with my paints. Not only had he kept them for me, but he looked up my return date and time in order to meet me." Yeah, just people that have helped someone else out. And you know, I've seen people before, right, in need, and I've had those feelings of sympathy toward them. You know how it is, right? You see someone, you go, "Oh, man, I feel bad for them," or "I wouldn't want to be in their situation," or it stinks to be going through what they're going through. And to have those feelings of sympathy and feeling bad towards someone else and their condition, and just having those feelings. But Jesus Christ didn't just feel sympathy toward these people. He was moved with compassion. I understand that's what makes a difference. That's what makes these stories what they are, and that's what makes this account in the Word of God what it is. It's not just feeling bad for someone. It's then taking that next step and being moved with compassion towards someone else's needs. And understand, if Christ was moved with compassion, then we should be too. Especially as Christians. Especially as people who know Jesus Christ. We have to be moved with compassion because we are the ones that can point people to Jesus Christ. We are the ones that can really show Jesus Christ to those who do not know Him. Maybe it's just by praying right there and then when you see a need. Maybe that's all you can do, and if that's all you can do, that is enough, because prayer moves the heart of God. But maybe that's what it means. Maybe it's you seeing a need and just taking a moment to not just feel bad, but to pray for that person and pray for that need. Maybe God has put you in a place where you can provide in some way to help meet that need, right? In whatever way God has enabled you. But He's put you in a place to not just see that need, not just to bring you across that person's path or to put you in that position, but so that you can actually take a step in providing and helping to meet that need. Maybe it's just putting your arm around someone and being an encouragement. Maybe it's just saying some word to that person to encourage them in the Lord, sharing a verse, sharing something from your heart with that person. But understand, being moved with compassion is more than just feeling bad for someone or saying, "I wouldn't want to be in their position." But it's moving beyond that to help meet the need that as God has enabled you to. You know, there's that verse in 1 John where John says, listen, it's more than just looking at someone and saying, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled." And then he goes, "Notwithstanding, you don't do anything to help when you could. You just say these easy phrases. Depart in peace, be warmed and filled." You know what that is? That's send them away, right? Not bring them to Jesus Christ. And for a Christian, when we see people and we see their needs, we understand it's not just about their quality of life. We also understand it's about their spiritual condition. It's that we have the opportunity by meeting a physical need to also meet a spiritual need. And to care about their soul, not just the condition of their life, but to care about them as someone that Jesus Christ cares about. Someone who He cared enough to send His Son to die for. that we look at that person and instead of just feeling bad, we let the Lord move us with compassion to do something about the need that they have. And one more thing tonight, back in Mark chapter 6. I just want to go back a little bit because we need to realize what was going on right before this. Because this brings us to one more thought. Before Jesus Christ has compassion on them, before he's moved with compassion, if we go back to verse 29, it says, "And when his disciples heard of it, that it is the death of John the Baptist, who was beheaded by Herod." It says, "When the disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb." I mean, they had just gotten through, and I don't say gotten through, but they were just dealing with grieving for the loss of John the Baptist. Mark chapter 6, verse 30, "The apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done, what they had taught." They were just coming back to Christ from laboring, where he had sent them out. Now they were just coming back from this time of laboring and service. And so then verse 31, "Jesus said unto them, Come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately." Jesus Christ had said, listen, it's time for you to take a break. It's time for you to rest and recharge. So he brings them apart into this quiet place with all that they were going on, all that they were dealing with, all that was going on. The people see this, and the people go and they follow them, and they run ahead of them. And when they get to this quiet place where Jesus said, you're going to come apart and relax, recharge, there is this multitude. And Jesus Christ looks out and he is moved with compassion on these people with all that they had going on and all that Jesus Christ and his disciples were dealing with. And you know the lesson? I've got to stop making excuses for myself for why I can't be moved with compassion. That's what I got from this. I've got to stop it because I'm good at making excuses and finding reasons why I can and justifying why I've got a lot going on and why I don't have time or I don't have the energy or whatever to be moved with compassion towards someone else's needs. And then I look at what Jesus Christ was going through, and yet he saw that multitude. He saw their needs. He saw that they were sheep not having a shepherd. So he taught them. And then he saw that they were hungry. And so he said, instead of sending them away, he said, I'm going to do a miracle. And I'm going to give them to eat. He was moved with compassion. We can rest in that, but also we need to be challenged by that so that we are moved with compassion toward other people. And I think our prayer needs to be this: Lord, give me a compassion that moves me. Give me a compassion that moves me. Not just that I would feel bad for people. Not just that I would even see the need, but that I would see the need and that, Lord, you would move me with compassion toward them. Aren't you thankful tonight that we have a Savior that's moved with compassion toward us? Aren't you glad that we can rest in that and trust in him, that he knows our needs, that he cares for our needs, and he is working to meet those needs? Let's follow his example. Say, Lord, move me with compassion. Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your compassion, your care. And we thank you that we see that from your word. Tonight, may we rest in that. Lord, all that we're going through, all the needs that we struggle with every single day, even the needs that we are going to face, Lord, may we just trust you for all of that, resting in the fact that you are moved with compassion. And Lord, may we be moved, not just to feel bad, but moved to meet the needs that you've placed us in a position that we are able to do that. Lord, may we always keep our eyes fixed and focused on you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.